Here is the monthly report for Aid Northwest. Aid Northwest is Advocates for Immigrants in Detention Northwest. Aid Northwest supports immigrants in detention and when released from the Tacoma ICE Processing Center through welcoming services focused on transitional support and connection to vital resources for resettlement. Here is the March report from the Welcome Center by Kirk. Today was one for the books. Our group consisted of Diana, Bill, Morgan, myself, Andrea, and PDANs, Donna and Jordan. PDAN is Post-Detention Assistant Network and is comprised of people who drive the people released to their local destinations, such as the bus or airport. Around 3:30, a woman visited us in the tent, seeking support, searching for her niece. She had traveled from Arkansas as she received word that her niece from Mexico, visiting Canada with a friend, tried crossing the border. The last communication anyone had with the niece was Friday morning, when she reported that she was in Blaine, but thought she spotted an immigration official. After the woman looking for her niece flew into Washington on Saturday, she had driven up to Blaine to search for her niece, with no results, and then she drove down to Tacoma, visiting the detention center every day with no information about her niece. She was understandably nervous, unsure where her niece may be and whether or not she had been detained. Ultimately, we connected her with the Washington Immigrant Solidarity Network, or WASIN. Diana first called the Blaine Police Department and was then connected with the local Border Patrol office. Thankfully, she did receive confirmation that the woman's niece had been detained and sent to the detention center within the previous few hours. The WASIN volunteer helped the woman understand how to navigate the immigration process for her niece. Lots of tears today. Interestingly, when the woman first came to the tent, the weather conditions were horrible, super blustery, pouring rain. But as soon as Diana received confirmation that the woman's niece was safe, the weather cleared up and it was sunny the rest of the shift. Around 4:30, we received one release, a man from India who requested to go up to the Sikh temple. We were unsuccessfully coordinating a taxi, so Donna drove him up. Shortly after they left, a man from Peru was released. He was headed to Newark, and his family had found an 8:55 p.m. flight. Fortunately, Jordan was able to drive him up to the airport, where they ran into some ticketing snafus, as the ticket had been purchased from Chile, and the payment hadn't fully processed yet. The payment did come through while they were at the desk, and he was whisked forward to catch his flight. And from Andrea, such a pleasure to work with another great crew, Sushima, Sahi, Terry, and PDAN Heath, and work together to get our four guests on their way, and in sunny weather, too. Our guests were a man whose nationality was listed as Laotian, but who came to the U.S. as a baby, and he headed to Everett. He'd said he'd had no idea that he wasn't a citizen until he got involved with ICE a few years ago, as he had a driver's license and owned property. There was a woman from Ghana who had come in through Canada and headed to Marysville. There was a man from Peru going to Salt Lake City. He opted for a more expensive flight today rather than one at half price tomorrow because he has to work tomorrow. There was a man from Russia going to New York. He insisted on going to the airport without a ticket. We had an interpreter discuss it with him, and he has a phone and a relative working to buy a ticket, so we let him go. We sent the two Washington travelers off together on a series of buses, armed with bus schedules and dollar bills. Due to a big slowdown on I-5 North, Heath drove our two air travelers to the airport as time was short for the 8:55 p.m. Salt Lake City flight. And it was a glorious sunny afternoon for receiving our guests. Our excellent co-volunteers were Michelle, Terry, Teresa, and P-Dan Annie. All guests arrived between 2:15 and 3:45. The first guest, from Romania, came from the hospitality house, the same man reported on with the missing driver's license and passport. He was unable to retrieve either, despite appealing directly to ICE in person today. Since he plans to work as an Uber or Lyft driver in Los Angeles, he plans to report his driver's license as lost to the DMV in order to get a replacement. Terry secured his ticket to Los Angeles using a credit card information supplied by his wife. Our next guest was a young man and new father from the Dominican Republic. He had an emotional FaceTime with the mother of his newborn and shared pictures of the baby with us. His ticket to Tampa was quickly secured by family, and he spent the rest of the afternoon on his phone with family. The next two guests, a husband and wife from Ukraine, arrived at 3. A contact from a local sponsoring church was there to receive them and whisk them away to their temporary housing supplied by the church community. The last two guests from Georgia arrived around 3:45, and both were traveling to New York. The family of the first one quickly bought his ticket and sent the confirmation number. The second Georgian's guest family sent money for the ticket through Zelle, and $80 extra so the guest would have funds at the airport. Terry booked the flight using the Aid Northwest credit card, and we gave him $80 from petty cash. All boarding passes were successfully printed, and P. Dan Annie left with the four travelers to the airport about 5:20. This is Louisa Beal with Aid Northwest, and I'm here today with Mary Claire Benson. Mary Claire is one of the board members for Aid Northwest, and I've been looking forward to talking with her and getting to know her a little bit better. So, Mary Claire, how did you become aware of Aid Northwest?
Well, I moved to Tacoma 7 years ago, but before that time, I had read articles in the Seattle Times and was just aware that there was a detention center in Tacoma. And I was interested once I moved to Tacoma in becoming involved. And I happened to find just last year, I was cleaning out a drawer and found a Seattle Times article I'd clipped out several years ahead when it was the old van, and they were just talking about meeting with people at the original van at the site, and I didn't even remember I had the article. So it was simmering in my brain for a long time. And then once I moved, and I was renting at first and then bought a house, a condo, and I had a presentation at my church from the Speakers Bureau, and that really was, okay, you've been waiting long enough. You kept saying you want to work with the detainees. This is your chance. And then I went to a presentation of the detention lottery at the Lutheran Church, mm-hmm. and I was just so impressed and signed up then to volunteer. And Deborah, the director, found out that I had financial background. I'm an accountant. In my former life, I was an accountant. And so I ended up being on the finance team. And I also started visiting, doing visitation, working with Catherine Nile to do some visitation at the detention center before they got shut down for COVID.
Okay, so those were visitations inside the detention center.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So I've kind of done new, various different activities, volunteering.
Yeah, a little bit of everything. Wow. Very cool. So, but now you're on the board. So how did you get roped into that?
The finance team, the treasurer is Sharon Olson. I started with them. Cynthia was the treasurer. Then Sharon became treasurer, and she asked me if she could volunteer me for the board just a few months ago. In fact, I've just been on the board since October, and I fell for it. And then Tim called me right a month or two after I'd been on the board to ask if I would be the secretary for the board. So so I managed to dive in quickly to the board activity. Yeah. And I'm still on the finance team with that. And then I also do delivery of craft boxes and detention backpacks mm-hmm. to the detention center. So yeah. I'm at that building often.
Yes, yes. Well, Bob Spangler was secretary when I came on, and he was at the end of his term. And he asked me if I would be secretary. And I looked at what would need to be done, and there was a lot of online work and emailing people that I didn't know. And I just was not comfortable with that. So I really applaud you for diving in.
Tim downplayed how much it would be. And so far, it's meeting minutes. It's stuff I've done on other boards. Also, Bob Spengler is still on the finance team, so I know him well. He was one of the people that talked to me to first be on the finance team, mm-hmm. gosh, probably 5 years ago. So there's different people I've known that have been involved on the board, so that kind of prepared me, I guess, for doing that. So then, but there were several board members I'd never met before, or I'd just seen their mm-hmm. names, like you're,
sure.
you, Louise. I'd seen your name, but I had no idea who you were.
Right. So it's all been, for me, a learning experience, not just being on the board, but meeting all these people. Mm-hmm. And I love doing these interviews. So, yeah. Because one of the things that I'm interested in what people have to say is, what do they feel is the most important thing in this endeavor?
For me, it's... Well, first of all, I wish we didn't need to have detention centers, because in my mind, we're keeping people who haven't committed crimes in prison, and it is a prison. It's definitely, when you go and visit people there, you are in a prison, and you can't sit in the waiting area even with the phone on you. You have to lock up your keys and your coat. It's crazy, and it's run by a for-profit corporation. Those things are just wrong. But that being said, it's in place, and the people who are inside need us to help. Mm-hmm. I feel like when I take a detention backpack for someone who's being deported, this is a clean pair of clothes, shoes. It's what comfort we can give for someone who's being shipped back to someplace they tried very harrowing circumstances, typically, to escape, and they're going back. Mm-hmm. And then just delivering crafts. I've seen the results of the craft making that a lot of the detainees can do, and just being able to deliver the yarn and the books and stuff like that. I feel like it's something I would do for family, and it could have been my family. Those mm-hmm. of us who aren't indigenous peoples, mm-hmm. we all have immigrant heritage. So any of these people could be my family.
Right.
So that's kind of what drew me, is that it's wrong. It's wrong what we're doing with that prison atmosphere, but that if that's in place, then we need to make it as humane as possible for those who are victims of that inhumanity.
Yeah. And I like what you said about, you know, it being a prison, but they're not criminals.
Yes, that's what's so aggravating. And there's just so little transparency, and ICE runs it, but GEO is the people working there, and they don't communicate effectively, and there's times when the paperwork doesn't get to the desk, so I can't deliver a backpack to someone. They get shipped out with whatever clothes they got put in, which could be just a pair of shorts and a t-shirt, wherever they got picked up and what was ever on them at the mm-hmm. time. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's just, it's not how any of us would want to be treated ourselves or to treat other people.
Yeah.
So it's a really sad situation.
Right. And all we can really do is to help make it easier on these people.
Yes.
And, you know, it just floors me that the detention center is in the Tide Flats area, and there's nothing there. These people, you know, they get sent out the door, and there's no way to get to a phone or food or transit or anything.
I live in Tacoma and have for 7 years, and if I was set down there, I wouldn't have a clue where the nearest store was, and I would know where I was. So many of these people have no idea where they even are.
Right.
So it's scary, and I've been there in pouring rain and high wind, and you drive across the 11th Street Bridge, and it's just crazy weather, and there's just nothing going on.
Yeah. So, you know, it seems to me that Aid Northwest fulfills something that is just truly vital.
Yes, and it's the services have grown over time. I have a friend at church who was involved in the early days, and she's really impressed with how much things have grown, and you see a need, and then you realize, okay, we meet this need. Oh, wait, we can help expand meeting that need, and different needs come up. I can't tell you how many rules have changed in just the time I've worked with the detention center. Oh, you can deliver us. No, you can't deliver that. Oh, you can only come these days or times. Oh, wait, you can do it this way. You just have to keep on your toes with just figuring out what's going on. And then I have a good relationship with most of the people at the desk, but then you get some stinkers who just seem to, I can't think it's a happy job to be in, but there are some very helpful people, and there are other people that you just kind of wince and say, okay, you know, they have their own story.
So are the people at the desk, are they for GEO?
They're GEO employees. Yeah. It's all GEO staff. All I ever see is GEO staff.
Okay, so. Okay. Because I hear about that ICE is the one who says, okay, we're going to have so many releases.
Yeah. So there's this kind of, ICE is there, and I think they have office space there. I just, the people that you meet at the front desk are the paid GEO employees who are part of the GEO for-profit organization.
Right. So is there anything about, because you've been doing quite a lot. I mean, you know, with the visitations and deliveries and Welcome Center, and I don't know if you've done things at the hospitality house. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yes. I've written out Christmas cards with gift orders in them, and those group things are great. And it's nice we're getting back to more in-person stuff because you meet the other volunteers whose names you've seen on emails, and I have a really good relationship with Gail Waters, who's my backup for delivery.
Oh, sure.
And now Jan Lind has taken over being the backup. So we're always able to have someone available to take things to the detention center. A lot of times we have very short notice. Like someone's going out tonight and we got to get it there between 4 and 6. That's the window.
Wow. So,
But those relationships are really valuable to me. The people I meet through the organization that are all, we all have this same or similar goal of doing good for the detainees.
Yeah. In all the things that you've done, is there something that feels the hardest for you?
The visitation was hard because I have nightmares about being trapped in prison. I'm claustrophobic. And it just, so the visitation was hard. And then I did it for a while. The detainee I visited, I went to two of his court hearings and he was released. And then he stayed with me briefly, which was during COVID because there was nowhere he could go. So it just was very scary. I had to take him to the Tacoma Dome to get tested for COVID, and that was a drive up crazy thing in the early days when we didn't know what we were doing, and then so that he could get a plane ticket back with the negative test. And it was just, and then I was on email with his brother back in Africa. So just these connections, but it's really hard to go into that space and you're sitting in booths, you know, on a phone across the person, and, you know, they've taken everything away from you, and you're not touching or actually physically able to even touch the
person. Is there one of those glass partitions?
There's glass partition.
Oh, my God.
You're sitting in there's a long row, and you're sitting in there. And then quirky things like when it's time for roll call, they'll make the women wait. They separate so the men and women are never within, you know, 20 feet of it. Don't get me started. It's just, it's ridiculous. They're treated like children and like prisoners.
And
of course they just have prison release type outfits, and then they get color coded by how dangerous they're considered to be. So they're color coded blue, yellow, red, or something. Red is like the dangerous prisoners. So it's just kind of...
How would they be dangerous?
Well, there are some people who have some criminal, potentially criminals, but and then I know the person I was visiting, he had been changed from green to blue, and he had no idea why. So, and because of that, sometimes affects what the judge thinks when you go see the judge. So he was worried. He wanted to make sure he was changed back to green because they told him he was. So these quirky behind-the-scenes things that go on are just kind of crazy. I mean, just all this insider stuff. But the other thing, too, is that people get isolated and... the person I was seeing, he said, the depression. I mean, it's just crazy because these people are separated from family. Typically, most of them are not anywhere near anyone who could visit them that they know, which is why the visitation program and the letter writing and cards and stuff is kind of a great thing AIDS does, because these people are separate. They're in a horrible situation, and in that aren't even able to easily contact family. So the phone funds, I think, are huge, that we provide phone funds. But the fact that the prison charges a fortune for people to call their family, that's the other thing. And that's true for every prison. It's a money-making deal for the for the prison. Here you have someone who's been taken with, you know, they have no resources, really. Right. And they're not letting them work now because they were paying them with the state rule that they need to pay minimum wage. And of course, they weren't willing to do that. Mm-hmm. So for the work that was being done, that should have been paid that. Mm-hmm. So now they don't even have those small resources to pay for commissary goods or phone funds. So it's just, it's a kind of lose-lose situation as far as what it cost. Yeah, the whole phone thing just infuriates me.
Well, well, it sounds like you have had a lot of different experiences, and now being on the board, you know, you have just dived in head first, and what are you feet first? And from my point of view, you know, I have been very glad to see you come on board and accept the role of secretary, because just looking at it, you know, when they asked me, I thought, whoa, I'm not able to do this. And so I truly admire you. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I guess I feel like, especially now that I'm retired, I did some volunteer stuff before I retired, but the last 5 years I've been retired, and I really find it rewarding to give back, to be able to be, and to be involved in a cause that I've felt strongly about for many years, and to be able to be more directly involved with that because I'm living in Tacoma now. Although there are people who come from pretty far away to volunteer, it's pretty impressive some of the time people put in just getting to the Welcome Center or getting to meetings and showing up.
I've just been very impressed by the whole organization. So I'm glad you're part of it.
How long have you been involved?
About a year. A little over a year.
Oh, okay. I thought you were, you know, lifer.
Well, yeah, but not for this. So I'm still learning. I've not even been to the Welcome Center yet. You know, you talk about, you know, the kind of the claustrophobia of visiting in the prison. You know, mine is more of a social phobia because I don't speak Spanish, and I would think that
me either. I'm really sorry I don't.
You know, I'd just be tongue-tied. So, but, you know, I do what I can.
When the several people I visited, one at length who was released, and the hearing was impressive. I really liked the judge, and I heard later that she had a good reputation for being fair. And she went out of her way to make sure the detainee I was seeing had every opportunity to be released. So I felt like, okay, this is my tax dollars working in the way I liked to see them working, is that this judge for ICE seems to understand the bigger picture of what's going on.
Wow. Pretty amazing.
It is, the whole system is crazy and amazing in what people can do to work with it as well.
So is there anything you'd like to add?
Well, I would just like to add that I deal a lot with Catherine Nile because she's the main contact with the detainees, and she is a saint on earth. I have to put a plug in for her. The work she does to connect detainees with what they need and to manage, you know, are they being released? What do they need? To tell us things they need. And she lives fairly far away, so I just can't say enough good things about she's worth 10 of anyone else doing that work. And I'm sure you've been exposed to her too.
I did an interview with her last year.
She's amazing.
It's amazing. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
This has been fun.
It's been great.
Okay. And here's the report on your donations at work. There were 103 immigrants served, 12 deportation bags given, 5 hospitality house guest nights, 66 rides given, 40 letters written to detained people, 49 visits to people who were detained, 50 coats given to released immigrants, and 111 phone funds. That's $20 each. There were also 831 total volunteer hours. You can register now for our next community meeting. Email us at officevolunteer@aidnorthwest.org. Again, that is officevolunteer@aidnorthwest.org. Aid Northwest is financed 100% through donations from individuals and private organizations. Aid Northwest relies on the over 200 volunteers, a small paid staff, and is only possible because of the many generous donors. Please visit our website for donation information. Financial donations, as well as donations of food, clothing, and backpacks, are gratefully accepted. There are many volunteer opportunities, from assisting at the Welcome Center, supporting immigrants while in detention, to serving on a committee. You can learn more at the website aidnorthwest.org. That is AIDNW.org. You can email us at officeassistant@aidnorthwest.org. Aid Northwest, supporting immigrants with dignity while in detention and upon release. Thank you.